Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I have with me one of the top global thought leaders from the world, Dr. Oleg Konovalov from Russia, Moscow, Russia. Oleg, welcome to the show.
Ashutosh, thank you very much. I'm honored to be on your show.
Thank you.
It's amazing. Thank you.
Oleg is a global thought leader, a consultant, and a C-suite coach. He has been recognized as the Da Vinci of visionary leadership. The Thinkers 50 Distinguished Achievement Awards have been given to him. He's one of the global...
I'm nominated for it.
Okay, you're nominated.
But it's still a big thing.
Okay, absolutely. And he is one of the global gurus and in the top 30 in leadership. He's in the top 10 most inspiring global thought leaders. And as all of you know, I'm always very partial to authors. He's the author of a book titled The Vision Code. Then he's written a book called Leaderology, Corporate Superpower, Organizational Anatomy, and Hidden Russia. So, Oleg, let's start about our conversation with your telling me about your recognition as the Da Vinci of visionary leadership.
Ashutosh, people mainly assume that recognition is some kind of a praise, but I can't stick it on my T-shirt.
Correct.
Good recognition is a great responsibility.
Correct.
Because people expect me to share solutions with them. Mm-hmm. You can't share your recognition, but people expect you the value. And so you can't say, okay, I achieved that and I will stop. No. It's a promise that I will do even more. And every recognition is a promise to do more.
Correct.
It's a responsibility to do more. Mm. You know, and that's a huge difference.
Absolutely.
When people think, yeah, you achieved a lot. Success is a short-term result of a long-term commitment and a structured thinking.
Wow. Well said. Very well said. And tell me a little bit about this recognition, the Da Vinci. What is the background of this recognition?
We used to look at vision and vision leadership as some kind of a statement, a plaque on a wall. And for the first time in a human history, after a long research, I managed to break it or decode it into a practical algorithm. And so explain what is the nature of vision, how to create it, how to develop, how to execute it, how to make it a reality, whether for business or personal life. And also I believe that the beauty of vision is amazing because it's very structured, elegant thinking about how we would create that future, how we would live it. Mm-hmm. And it's very much about finding this golden ratio of vision. And I mentioned this notion in my book, and people immediately, you are Da Vinci. Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Oleg, let's talk a little bit about coaching. And let me start by asking you, what made you become a coach?
I have a very interesting past to that role. I spent many years in a practical business, and I went into consulting, I started writing books, I would accepted as a thought leader, then a global thought leader. Then my clients start asking, can you do coaching? No, it's not for me. You know the things. And then I just realized that people need not just lectures, not just guidance or something, shared stories. They need someone who will take their hand and walk that distance with them. And I became a coach, and particularly with me having own approaches of own methodologies, it came quite easy. But coaching, I have a simple approach. I will coach only on the subjects that I will coach myself.
Okay.
I'm not coaching on something which I'm not into, in the topics that I'm not very interested. I know them very well, but if I would not improve or if I'm not very much interested in improving in that particular area, I wouldn't be coaching.
Okay.
Therefore, if vision for me is meta-competence of the 21st century. Of course, I will coach people because I would learn from my clients at the same time, and I will become better, and they will become better. Mm-hmm. So it's not about coach always being better than a client. No, it's both of us growing.
Correct. Very well said. So, you know, when I was growing up, coaching was generally done by a family elder or someone senior in the company you worked for who took a liking for you. Why has coaching become so important that people are willing to pay for it now?
You brought a brilliant point. Mm-hmm. Why coaching was done by family elder? Mm-hmm. Being a coach, it's not about being smart. Mm-hmm. We're all smart. We're all taught to be smart. Mm-hmm. But you can't share your smartness. Mm-hmm. You could share your wisdom. And so people are paying to coach to get that wisdom and become wiser. Mm. So it's a journey from being smart to being wise. Mm. And that's a difference. Mm. And wisdom pays the highest return on investment. Mm-hmm. Smartness is good for you. Right. Okay, you are good at solving buzzwords or knowing facts. Mm. When you are wise, you are very good at reading weak signals about yourself or about environment. And it allows you to connect those seemingly unconnected dots in order to find the solution for tomorrow.
Fascinating.
And that makes a huge difference. Mm.
Fascinating. So, you know, you coach C-suite executives.
Yes.
My question to you is, at what stage of one's career should one look for a coach?
Any stage.
Okay.
Actually, any stage. Mm. Yes, I do mainly work with C-suite, which is quite mature people. But it could be, you can't get a good successor for a CEO position or any senior position without that good coaching. Mm-hmm. You must prepare people for the future challenges, not for today's challenges. Even if you're mature, you're good at solving previous problems. But you are prepared for tomorrow challenges, which is hard to predict. It's about developing that mindset that would allow solving those problems and finding new solutions.
Okay.
And therefore, it's not about, I will do it only when at this level. Mm. Every level, at every stage, it is important. Mm.
Thank you. And, you know, one of the questions I have often been asked by people I have coached is, how long should a coaching association be? What are your thoughts?
Good coaching arrangement, in my view, is between 6 to 12 months, depends on the goals which we would agree. Yet it means that I must see, and my client must see this as well, improvement by at least 10% every month.
Okay.
It's not about, I will coach you for a few months and then you will start seeing improvement. No, it's not coaching. It's just money laundering. Mm. It's improvement. Mm. But after, you know, this great period, when you got the main core value, it's okay to have like some kind of from time to time meetings or conversations and wait for the next stage of or new sets of questions. Mm-hmm. When you coach, you can make also very short assignment. When I ask, can we do this within 3 months? No, because it demands a reflection. Mm. But what is most important, you need to allow time for redefining mindset, a transformation of mindset, and that takes time.
Okay.
If you allow too much time, it wouldn't happen because it's too slow.
Correct.
If it's too quick, too short, it wouldn't get imprinted. Mm. It would be just a lecture like in university. Okay, quickly we would look at this and this topic. You know something? Okay, that's your pass. Goodbye. No. So you should allow that time for transformation.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So moving on, number of people ask me a question. How do I evaluate that I have a good coach? And I'd love to get your thoughts.
If I would not gain a very significant value for myself, because I'm learning from other people as well, so I'm a coach at the same time. If I wouldn't get anything significantly valuable within the first hour of conversation, it's not about this coach being
amazing. So what you're saying is that
coach for me,
in the first hour of conversation, the coaches should be able to get something positive.
Positive, valuable. It's not about me liking. You know, it's nothing about liking. It's about what challenges my mind. What makes me better, even if it's not very comfortable. Because we all love that comfort. That's about this guy who could rid me out of that comfort zone and show me clearly where we are going to be.
And a follow-up question, Oleg, from that, is that you work with very, very highly successful or high achievers. And there must be many, many people wanting to be coached by you. What do you look for in a potential coachee?
The first one, I'm always asking my clients, do you believe in anything? And, you know, and this is not about me judging their religious or faith or anything like that. I want to see people that they believe in something greater than themselves. Because if a potential client doesn't believe in anything only in himself or herself, this person wouldn't be able to share his lessons with others. He see himself only. Too much ego. I can't do much about this. I'll better say no.
Okay.
I must see that commitment. But commitment assumes responsibility. I am responsible for what I will do, how I will evolve, and what I will do, answering the questions or thinking about something or putting into action. As you know, you could bring a horse to the water, but I can't make that horse to drink. And that is what I'm just trying to listen and find for myself. This person really will commit himself.
I'm often prepared
to go an extra mile myself.
That's wonderful. You know, and I have often used this, the horse to the water, a little differently. And I've often said that you can take a human being to the university, but you can't make them think.
Exactly. Brilliant. Yeah.
So wonderful. So now let's talk about the younger set of people. You know, I am older than you, I'm sure. And, you know, we've lived for 40, 42, 45 years of experience we've all had. But this is the world of the millennials and the Gen Zs. My question to you is, what has been your experience in working with the millennials, and how are they different from the generation before them?
I didn't work much with this younger generation. Yes, I mentored a few guys, or when I'm teaching at business schools, I'm, you know, in conversation with them. In fact, because, you know, vision leadership, it's a bit of higher range. Yet, what I have learned, they're very good at asking direct questions, which at our age, we are shy to ask. And therefore, you must be prepared to answer their questions in a more practical way, more direct way. So you must be better structured to their questions. And another thing is, what I have learned, if I want to know more about today and a future life, I must talk with these younger people, because they're already living a new life, which we are, as older generation, actually resisting. So they're already living and they will be living longer in that life. So I must learn from them.
Correct. Very well said. So Oleg, now we're going to, let's move to the next part of our conversation, which is your books.
Okay.
I'd love to hear from you. I think, is your latest book The Vision Code?
Yes.
So tell me about The Vision Code. What is your hypothesis and what is the message you are communicating?
You know, there is a great vision behind every success. Mm-hmm. Or say the greatness of your success is defined by the greatness of your vision. Mm-hmm. But unless we truly understand what vision is and how to create it, we can't make it happen. Mm-hmm. It would be just a noise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always looking for practical solutions. As you are spending many years in the corporate world, I spent many years in business. And so I'm very keen on, about practical solutions, not just writing books, you know, for the sake of writing.
Mm-hmm.
I hate writing. It's a result of my research.
Right.
I'm looking for grand solutions to grand problems.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it's important to share those solutions with people through books.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind was to demystify what vision is, why people are not touching it.
Mm-hmm.
Ask one of my friends and he said, look, people are not looking much into this because it's too complicated. You must be really tough to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
But when you reveal those practical algorithms, this practical model with mm-hmm. people, I'm helping them to become exceptionally strong or exceptionally better as leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Because vision is the single most powerful tool all leaders have.
Mm-hmm.
And I must give them this tool for them to use daily.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. The other book that I wanted to understand a little bit from you, because I was fascinated by the name, is Hidden Russia. And I have been to Russia at least 40 times to Moscow.
Wow.
In my tobacco, you know, in tobacco days or BAT days.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a big office in Moscow. So I've always been fascinated by your country.
And actually, it's not just to explain how Russia is.
Uh-huh.
It was my very first book, and actually I was really not prepared to write anything at that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends, UK friends, insisted me, pushed me and said, hey, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a reflection of my research on how informal relations works in Russia, how mm-hmm. they define the rules of operations or exchange rules, access to resources within informal networks
mm-hmm.
in private life or in business. Because every society is unique in own way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the way we dance or we think.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how we understand each other,
mm-hmm.
how we share resources,
mm-hmm.
how we support in the way we build trust.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
because I can't understand the world without understanding my own culture
mm.
or my own society. I have a very good friend, Amit Kapoor. He's from New Delhi. He's
mm-hmm.
your neighbor.
Okay.
And I said, did you ever been to India?
Mm-hmm.
He said, no. Are you ignoring 20% of the world population? I said, that's a good point. I will be there.
Right. Well said. Well said. So, Oleg, I'm now going to move to the last segment of our conversation. My young viewers and listeners love to get to know the guest a little more. So I have three or four questions for you that I call personal questions.
Okay.
You were just mentioning that, you know, before you became a coach, you were an entrepreneur or a businessman. What would you say are three key milestones or pivot points in your life or your career?
I have gone from being a second engineer on a deep sea trawler.
Oh, wow.
I have okay. a good fishing industry experience in the North Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of the deadliest professions.
Yes.
Your starting point doesn't define your
end.
Success end.
Mm-hmm.
Right? but it was great experience to work with people in a tough environment, and you are as good as you execute your duties, even at the basic level. But it, when you're working on the trawlers, you're very immediately realizing that whatever you do has immediate impact on people's lives or their safety, because working in the high seas is always risky.
Correct.
Then I have gone into position of Eastern Europe sales director for a large British company, international company. And this is where I expanded a new markets and I have learned a lot. And this is where I decided, no, whatever I have learned before, already non-relevant. I have gone to get my diploma, master's degree and doctoral degree because it was a craving to learn. I must learn to lead people better.
Wonderful.
And if I would lead people better, I'm making them better and they're making me a better leader in return. And then I just created my own company, became CEO, international company in the EU, mainly UK, Russia, China, all those territories.
Okay.
But it's again, you can't, the main lesson, you can't reach a new success with an old mindset. You must renew your mindset all the time because every day is very different from yesterday.
Very interesting. Cannot achieve new success with an old mindset. That's a very, very powerful statement. Thank you. So I have time for two more questions for you. My next question is that, you know, with such a diverse background and, you know, such amazing thought leadership, who or what inspires you?
I have met a lot of interesting people from whom I do learn. Even, you know, every book, I'm interviewing a lot of people from Canada to Australia, from New Zealand, India, Brazil, USA. Meeting every new bright person is a blessing, is a gift. I can't say, oh, this person is better or this person is better. It's about learning how to be better, not just to be wow effect. That's a phenomenal person. But what I have learned from that person is more important.
Okay.
That made me better.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And my last question to you, and this is a question to you as a global guru, and this is for all the very, very young people who will listen to our conversation. What would your advice be to a young manager who is starting off on her or his journey in the corporate world?
Don't be afraid to move forward.
Okay.
Because the most fears about our life, about our career, about our businesses are given to us by others, by those who never made it. And a simple advice, don't allow anyone to silence your vision. You have your own vision for your life, for your business. Don't allow anyone to silence it.
Fabulous, fabulous. Oleg, thank you very much. It's been such a privilege speaking to you. Thank you for taking me down your journey, talking about such amazing concepts that you have. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you very much, Ashton. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.